My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to help God's people, comfort them, pray for them, and serve them. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. In 1979, CWH began proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world through weekly television broadcasts. Today, we continue to do the same with Dad's timeless and relevant messages from God's Word around the globe to bring you hope and strength. We offer numerous resources of Pastor Salem's in addition to the weekly services and programs to encourage you. Each month, we produce a monthly newsletter called A New Song. This contains a classic Bible study and devotional from Dad's writings, along with information on our weekly programs. You may request a paper or an electronic copy. Dad wrote 3 books filled with stories of God's Word and some of his beloved sermons. In the book, Tell Me a Story, you will meet a God who cares for us, loves us, and desires to be in a relationship with us. Life of the Believer is a beautiful book of Dad's sermons that provide inspiration. And in his book, Jesus, you will discover who Jesus was, what he taught, and how he lived. Throughout Dad's ministry, he received an abundance of questions which led him to write 3 booklets. Can a Christian lose their salvation? Will we know our loved ones in heaven? And can a Christian who commits suicide go to heaven? These booklets answer questions through God's Word. Dad's prayer was that these booklets would give hope, joy, comfort, and assurance. A special DVD we have available is my dad's story of his life, documented in a film called Heart of a Shepherd. It speaks of his life growing up, how Dad learned about the love of God, and how that prepared him to make the decision to trust and follow Jesus. This is a heartwarming story of what God can do when one person accepts his call. All of these resources, as well as the ability to receive sermon series at your request, may be ordered on our website at cwh.org. You may also call us or write into us. In today's message, Beating Temptation, Dad conveys that everyone will be tempted at different times and ways in our life. We invite you to share this ministry with friends and family so that they might find the hope that we have in Jesus. May God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And it's always a joy when we come to the weekend and we can come and visit you. And all over the world, we gather together with the people of God, and we gather around the feet of Jesus. And that's the most wonderful time. And one of these days, the Lord will come again. We'll all be together in heaven, and we'll see each other face to face and get acquainted. Won't that be wonderful? Today, we have a sermon on dealing with temptation, how to beat temptation. And we all are tempted at different times in different ways. So maybe you can call a friend, tell him, you having trouble with temptation? Listen to what this old fella has to say, and maybe they'll tune us in. We're looking at Psalm 90 today, the 13th verse, beginning with the 13th verse. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish it. And dear Heavenly Father, that's what we're praying. We are praying that you'll establish your word through us, through our music and through our preaching and through our teaching. May many come to know you as Savior. And so may all the glory go to you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Barb is going to sing for us today, Till the Storm Passes By. And God bless you, Barb.
In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storms howl above me. no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear me cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of His hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know Thou art with me, and
thank you, Barb. And while Barb was singing, I was just thinking, I wonder how many all over this world are going through some storms, some hard times, and you can just remember that we're in the hollow of His hand. We don't hold Jesus. Jesus holds us. And that's what He tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 28, 29. He says, He holds us in His hand, and no man is able to take them out of a Father's hand. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. Now we're looking at some of our letters. Now here's one from St. Louis Park. And they say, thank you for being a wonderful shepherd to us all and our helpers and your helpers for being so very faithful. I save your new song and give it to my son and brother-in-law. And so when they're talking about the new song, they're talking about a little Bible study we put out every month. And this month of April, we're putting about the results of being born again. When you're born again, what happens? And you're going to, and they're always scripture with it. It's always backed up with scripture. And so you get your pencil and paper ready, and I'll give you the address in just a minute. And you say, the new song, and we'll be glad to send it. And you say, well, how much should I send for the subscription? And you know we are such nice people. We are so wonderful people. I can't get over it. We don't even charge for it. Free and postpaid. Now, if you can send a gift, that's fine. If you don't have any money, write to us. You'll get one just every month. Here's Bismarck, North Dakota. Woke up one morning, tuned on, turned on TV, and there was your show. I heard some things that opened my eyes and heart. Since then, I've been listening to you and a Christian radio station. Thank you for always being there. And please pray for my son. He's drifted from God. He's become angry. And so that's what we do. We pray for all of these people that write in. We always tell our staff and we pray. And we have a prayer group that also prays. And so you pray for us and we'll pray for you. Here's one from Costa Rica. I am so thankful to have found your ministry. I'm retired and with my wife living in Central America. I'm able to listen to you by way of the internet. So I'm able to send this little offering. Many of my friends have gone on to be with the Lord, and I'm at peace to know they're with the Lord. Thank you for standing true with God's work. Pray for us here in Costa Rica as we adjust to this needy culture. In Jesus' name, thank you, your friends in the Lord. That's 3,500 miles away. And when I read this letter, I just feel like I know these people because they know Jesus. They've been born again. And we're part of the family of God. And the one Holy Spirit is among all of us. And it just binds us together. We don't even see each other. And as we're reading that letter, I just feel like I know them. Can't wait to get to heaven to see them. Here's Ellsworth, Wisconsin. I came across your TV show. I have to say what a breath of fresh air. I'm a born-again Christian. I just want to thank you for preaching the Word of God. Keep up the good work. And that's what we do. We preach the Bible. And that's what people want to hear. People are saying, is there any word from God? We've heard the politicians. Oh, dear Lord, have we heard the politicians? And the announcers, and over, and they're talking about, and they're guessing about what they don't know any more about it than the man in the moon. And we're tired of them. And we want to know what God has to say, because the word of God abideth forever. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. And that's why we preach the Bible. And when you believe the Bible and you take that in, you're on solid ground. Praise God for the book, the Bible. Missoula, Montana, thank you for sharing the word with us every Sunday morning. After 25 years in prison, the word of God is a welcome change from the ways of the world. I'm out now and doing well. Keep up the good works. And so this is with a transition period after they've served their time and they come out and get into this in the end of this society, this culture. It's a crazy culture, I'm telling you. And they need help, and we all need help. And we pray for them, and they'll pray for us. And here's a dear brother, and he's come out, and he's walking with the Lord. We hear from so many people in prison. We hear from Maine to the West Coast, and we hear from Alaska clear down to Texas. And one prison we hear, a federal prison, 15 different people. We answer every letter we get from these people in prison. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Here's Wiser, Idaho. My wife and I live in Idaho. We are both disabled. My wife has MS and can no longer walk. Your weekly sermons have led us closer to the Lord. My brother told us of your ministry. We've been listening to your preaching ever since. God bless you all. And so here's somebody, and he told his brother-in-law that to tune us in. And we hear from so many. They say, we heard about your service because somebody told us. And so you can do that. Tell other people, and so they can listen in. And here's something really exciting. Just at the first of the year, we've gone on what we call the Gospel Channel, and that covers 52 nations in Europe, 52 nations, 50 million homes. And if you maybe have relatives, we had one lady, and she lives in the United States, and she has some relatives in Norway, and she wrote to them, says, listen to the service, and they can get the gospel. So maybe on another continent, all over the world. You write if you have friends in Europe, and you can maybe help them to come to know Jesus. Or maybe they do know Jesus. They just need encouragement. And then here's one more I want to share. San Francisco, California. I'm 82. I live alone. I have no one to take me to church. I watch you on TV. And I thought, you know, as I read that letter, we are able to help her because you people give and keep this ministry on the air, as we're on shortwave radio and we're on television. And so you can, we can help us to carry on. Like, here's a lady. There's no way for her to get to church. So she can worship with us. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when we worship together, she's way off in San Francisco and we're out in the Midwest. But the Holy Spirit is as close to her as he is to us. And so that makes it possible. We have know so many people that just can't get out anymore, and especially people that are in sickness, and some are in wheelchairs and walkers and whatnot. And so you can help us. And if you want to help us in this ministry, now you got your pencil and paper ready. And if you want to send us a gift, or if you want to have a question you want to send in, or if you want to send some information, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy, 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And it's a miracle. I don't know how they do it, but we do it all the time. Every week we get gifts over the internet. And the way you do get it, you get on Christian Worship Hour and .com, and then you look and there's a place to donate, and you punch that donate, and then you can give anywhere in the world. We got a letter from the Philippines, a gift from the Philippines not long ago. And wherever you are, and you put your currency in there, and then they'll send it to us. We'll get an American currency, and we'll pay our bill, and away we go. And so I know what you're saying. Oh, I don't know. That's a long way to send money. I don't know what to do. You know, he looks kind of suspicious to me. I'm afraid he might use it on parties or something. You know, 96 years old, I'm going to have some parties. Can you imagine that? Well, you don't need to worry where the money goes, because we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that's an international organization, and they audit our books. They check every penny we get and every penny we send. And we're clean as a hound's tooth, because we're not worrying about the ECFA. We're worrying about God. That before God, when God's people send money, we're going to use it as strictly and carefully as we can in the furtherance of the gospel. And so you write to us. We'd love to hear from you. And then don't forget the new song. And I know you'll like that. And some people use it for their Bible studies, and some people use it for Sunday school classes. And it's just a good, it's just a scripture. It's always the Bible. So you write to us, and I'm going to give it again, because all of our people on a shortwave, they can't see that screen. So you shortwave people, and we got a letter, shortwave letter just not long ago, and we're just thrilled to death to hear from you. And you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And we're going to be looking for that letter. And won't that just thrill us? So now, while you're doing that, and by the way, all of our income comes from God's people. We're not underwritten by any denomination, corporation, or anything like that. Just God's people. And so now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as God lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for may your will be done in every heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. Appreciate your help and your ministry. We're reading from Matthew chapter 26 today, and if you have your Bibles, we're looking, starting with the 31st verse, and Jesus is talking about temptation and how do we need to watch for temptation, and that's what are going to be our message today. Matthew 26, chapter 26, verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, and the flesh is weak. And now in our prayer today, we always pray for the persecuted church. We're praying for our brothers and sisters in Libya. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us. You know all about us. And thank you that you love us, even though you know we're going to stumble. You know we're going to deny you, and yet you love us. You never cast us away. And you're always there to take us back and recommission us if we just forgive, just confess our sins, come to you. Lord, we're just praying today that you'll help all who have maybe going through some hard times. Maybe the devil is really tempting them to do wrong. Maybe they're just right now just wondering. They're just at the edge, and they don't know to go or to not. And so give them wisdom and give them strength and help them to lean on you. And then, Lord, we're thinking of some maybe who have fallen. They failed you terribly. They knew it was wrong, and they did it anyway. They yielded. The flesh is so weak. Spirit is willing, but the flesh will fail us every time. So, Heavenly Father, help them to know that there's forgiveness every time. And if they've done it 100 times and come back, your arms are always open. And if they confess their sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And now, Lord, today we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Libya. And we're just praying that they may realize that they're a great blessing to us because they give us courage. And we see how they stand for you in the tempest and the trials and the persecution. And it makes us stronger and more determined to stand with them and to help them. And dear Lord, may the suffering will end one of these days. Your son will come or you'll take us home. And we'll be with you forever, and all these things will be just memories. So bless them. Now use this service, Lord, to honor your name. May Jesus be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Hank's going to sing today, and he's going to sing a song entitled, Help Me. God bless you, Hank.
Well, thank you, Pastor. I want to send this song out dedicated to all those self-made men and women out there who are trying to make it on their own. The Lord can help me walk
another mile, just one more mile. I'm tired of walking on my own. Lord, help me smile, another smile, just one more smile. You know I just can't make it on my own. Never thought I needed help before. I thought that I could make it by myself. Now I know I just can't take it anymore. With a humble heart on bended knee, I'm begging you, please help me. Come down from your golden throne to me, to lowly me. I need to feel the touch of your hand. Remove the chains of darkness. Let me see, Lord, let me see just where I fit into your master plan. Never thought I needed help before. I thought that I could get by myself. Now I know I just can't take it anymore. With a humble heart on bended knee, I'm begging you, please help me. With a humble heart on bended knee, I'm begging you, please help me.
Well, thank you, Hank. And that's the gospel. That's preaching the gospel, because Jesus Christ will help us. And when we call upon his name and when we turn to him, he'll help us and strengthen us, and he'll never fail us. And that's what we're going to be thinking today, about this matter of temptation. And we're talking about how we handle temptation. How can we beat temptation? And we take for our text this passage in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, where Jesus said, told his disciples, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And you'll recognize these words as coming from our Lord Jesus, and they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. They just had the Lord's Supper. They observed the Lord's Supper. And then now they've gone to the Garden of Gethsemane. And shortly now Judas will come and betray them to the Lord. And then he'll go to those final awful hours when he endures the crucifixion, this wonderful Savior. So Jesus tells them, "Watch and pray, for you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Actually, these words were directed to three disciples that Jesus took with him into the Garden of Gethsemane: Peter, James, and John. And in the hour when Jesus needed fellowship, companionship, he needed the prayers of his disciples. And when he was needed them the most, he found that they were asleep. They were tempted to sleep instead of praying. And Jesus gives them this charge: "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." And so when we think about it, we're going to look first of all and notice that temptation is a very real thing. It's not just a philosophy, it's an actual thing that we have to face. And Jesus said, the flesh is weak. And what is weaker than the flesh? Absolutely nothing. How many times it fails us? How time may we dare to trust the flesh? And we find out when we trust the flesh that the arm of flesh will fail you. Jesus said that the spirit is willing. And I think most people would rather do the right thing, or at least they think they would. And so you tell them they're going to do a certain thing, and they'll become angry. You say, "You're going to do a certain sin in the next 12 months. And they'll become angry and upset, but sure enough, they'll do it. They'll fall. Jesus told them that they would desert him and they would scatter. And I believe every single one of those 11 men believed that the listen to Jesus, and they didn't believe that. They did not believe that they would forsake Jesus. Matthew tells us, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples in Matthew 26, the 35th verse. They all said they would stand by Jesus no matter what happened. And as a matter of fact, Peter felt that he was stronger than the other disciples. And he says, though other all of them fail you, I won't fail you. And I wonder how the other 10 felt when he said that. But he was just so confident, so sure. And I think his heart was right. And so listen to this exchange. Jesus says, all of you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And Peter responds, and he says, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And so he is so sure, he is so positive. But then a little bit later, Jesus comes, Peter, James, and John. They're not praying, they're all asleep. And they were thinking, no thought for us to worry. We will never fail. We are strong men. We have been with Jesus. We'll never let him down. Why, we'll die for him. And I think they meant that in their heart, that they really would. And they say, there's no real danger of us falling. We're secure. We know ourselves. But I want to tell you something. They didn't know themselves. And you don't know yourself, and I don't know myself. I read the story of a Nazi guard, and he became a Christian later on. And he says, I can't imagine I did those things. I never dreamed I would do those things as a Nazi guard. And so all of these men, they're saying, we're none of us, we're all going to be faithful, but these men are going to fall. As a matter of fact, one of the disciples had already fallen. Judas had gone, and he had made his peace with the priests and made his deal to sell out Jesus. Peter, the spokesman of the group, was going to fall that very night. Though he didn't know it, didn't realize it, he was going to do it. Peter was going to curse and swear that he never knew Jesus Christ, never heard of him, never knew a thing about him. And John and James are going to leave him too, because we read, they all forsook him and fled, everyone. Jesus warned, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and that is so true. There's not a person on the face of the earth who has not fallen at some time or another except the dear Lord Jesus Christ. And temptation is a real thing that we have to face, and we have to face it all the days of our life. And Solomon in his old age committed some terrible sins, and I always pray that God will help me in my 96th year not to do something or say something will desecrate the name of the Lord or hurt the name of the church or the name of Jesus. We're none of us safe from it. The tempter's always there. And so temptation comes to us, and it'll always come in one of three different ways. And St. John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, he tells us exactly how any temptation you face is going to come in one of these three ways. This is what he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is in him, is not in him. For all that is in the world, here it is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So, all right, let's look at those three things. The lust of the flesh. The old flesh has desires and longings, and it's going to be with us as long as we live. That's why old Christians can fail just as much as young Christians. People go places and do things, and they know it to be wrong, but they do it to satisfy the flesh, and the sinful desires come from the flesh. And that's why we must learn to say no to these things. And when you say no to these things, you're out of step with the world. You're out of step with this culture. And the world will tell us, oh, yeah, you don't do these things. You don't go with these things. You don't think this way. You don't join the group because you're bigoted and you're narrow-minded and you're puritanical and you're old-fashioned and you're behind the times. Well, you just let them talk. It's better to be narrow and right than broad and wrong. That will cost us to live the Christian life. Jesus says it's cost to, you have to have self-denial. You have to say no to yourself. There's a cross in his call to us. Take up your cross daily and follow me. And a cross isn't as comfort an old an easy boy chair. It's a battle. It's dying to your old self and living to that new life that God has given us. That old fleshly thing. The world is going to appeal to us through the flesh, the lust of the flesh. And then he says, the lust of the eyes. And here we're warned to watch what we see. Many temptations come through the eye gate. And once they come in, they are hard to get out and to blot out. Listen to me, I want to tell you something. When I was in high school over 80 years ago, I can see some stories and some things that were said that are still there. You can take them in, but getting rid of them is another thing. And that's why we think of the things that are pure and clean. A young mind, when they are burnt with his memories, and it's just like us branding an animal. It's just like indelible. It's printed in their minds, and it comes through the eye gate. Some comes through feeling, but this is the lust of the eyes. The care of your little, watch out then what you're watching and watch the movies and what you're reading and where you're going and what you're thinking. And take care of your little children. You watch out for the books they read and the magazines they have and the videos they have in your home. Pay attention to the lyrics of the songs they're singing and listening to. And what are the words saying? Are they Christ-honoring? Are they God-honoring? It's not just the bad pictures we must guard against. The ungodly literature, the things that we read, how that they'll scoff at the things of God. Watch the eye gate. Watch out what you take in through that eye. It was King David, as he looked upon a woman through that eye gate. And before he was done with that look, he had committed adultery and murder and hypocrisy, pretensions. It's a terrible thing. Better had David been born blind than to live the sin and do the sins that he did. But it came through the eye gate. Job said the same thing. He said, the most righteous man of his day. And we know that he was the most righteous man of his day because God said so. And he knew to watch the eye gate away back then when the human race was very young. Job talks about what he can see. And in Job 31, verse 1, the Living Bible, he said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust upon a girl. Watch out for the eye gate, the pictures and the books and the videos and the magazines and the companions. Guard the eyes. And guard the eyes of your little ones that are under you and protect them and help them and guard over what they see and do. The day will come when you can't do that anymore, but you can, just like a computer, you can program them by teaching them and showing the right and the wrong. And then when they're off on their own, they'll have those things and those principles. They don't hold principles. Principles hold them. And they will say, like David did, Joseph did when he was with Potiphar's wife, how can I do this sin and sin against my God? That was programmed in him. And so the eyes, and then the last one is the pride of life. To be somebody, to be popular, to be accepted by the crowd. I remember in high school, thank God for Paul Boomer. And he taught us, don't you go with the crowd. And I think young people, God bless those dear young people. I think that the pressure to be with the crowd is stronger than ever, but it never always goes away. Older people hang around with older people. They shouldn't be fooling with it all. Go with the people of God. Live with the people of God. You hear it over and over. If I don't do such a thing, I'll lose my friends. And that's right, you will lose your friends. And probably the best thing you can do is to lose some of your friends. But you know what God will do, what he did for me? I lost some friends. Well, I never really had a lot of them in high school because I was in a grade school, in a little country school. I didn't have any friends, really. But I know this, you get your Christian friends, stay with Christian friends. And if you have to give up some friends, God will give you some better friends. But just be sure, you see, the very, very best thing that could happen to some of you is to lose your friends. And if you live for Jesus and you go on record for Jesus, they'll lose you. You won't be invited to their parties and things. But just remember this, you want to have to live for the Lord. And so that's why we put an emphasis, parents put an emphasis on having the children. Be sure the children go to church. Have them in Sunday school. Have them in a youth group. Have your child with a youth group. And just do all you can to guide their lives. And adults as well. You have friends. Watch out what kind of a friend you have. Now, if you have friends that you can't talk about Jesus with, you better just witness to that person and get some people that you can talk the same language, because you're going to be with the crowd. And I've heard it said 100 times over, well, I'll go with that gang and I'll witness to them. And before you knew it, they were gone with the crowd, overwhelmed. And so this peer pressure, it's always with us. And then, and if you really want to live for the Lord and you want to have power, you have to give up popularity. And you'll have to live for Christ and be honored for the Lord. Remember King Ahab in Elijah's day? Ahab had popularity, but Elijah had power. He didn't travel in the king's group. You see the same thing with Abraham and Lot. Lot had popularity. He lived in a place called Gomorrah. But this man, Abraham, lived out in the prairie, out in the fields with his flocks. And Lot had popularity. But old Abraham, Uncle Abraham, had power. Elijah and Daniel, you have the same thing. They were not popular, but they had power. Daniel has been gone for 2,500 years, but he still shines, and he's going to shine forever because he had set his heart on God to please God and let the world go. Turn your back on the world. He overcame temptation, and if he hadn't have overcome temptation, he'd have been gobbled up by the world. Daniel could easily have reasoned. He was taken as a prisoner, you see, into Babylon. And he was to eat the food of the Babylonians and live the lifestyle of the Babylonians. And he refused. And we read that he could lose rank and power if he didn't eat the same kind of meat that the king did and drink the same kind of wine. Daniel could have been popular, but he lost his power. But he wasn't popular, and he had great power, and he lived for God to God and served God into his 90s. Friend of mine, being a follower of Jesus Christ is not child's play. It isn't dress parade. It won't be easy to make a stand for the Lord Jesus. If you don't believe me, carry your Bible to school someday. Are you standing wherever you work and let them know you're a follower of Jesus Christ? Jesus warned us that we'd have hard times if we walked with the Lord. It calls for the best of us, and then even more, it calls for the Lord Jesus to help us. And what Jesus didn't keep it a secret, he didn't deceive anybody. Listen to him in Luke 9:23, verse 23. If any man will come after me, you want to be my follower, let him deny himself. Take up his cross, not the easy chair, the cross, and follow me. That is, Jesus is saying, you're going to have to pay a price. to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Start now. I remember Harry Ironside, and he used to tell about how his mother led him to the Lord, and he accepted Jesus just as a little boy going in a grade school. And his mother said, "Now, Harry, you've accepted Jesus. And when you go to school tomorrow, you tell the boys what you did. You tell the boys." And that night, Harry says, "I came home. And my mother said, 'Did you tell the boys what you did about accepting Jesus?' And Harry says, 'I told her, no, mother.' 'Why not?' 'Because they'll laugh at me.' And then Harry Ironside said something I never forget. He says, 'It's 100 years. I've lived to be 100. My mother says, Harry, the boys can laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out of hell. And so you need to make your choice, and it's going to come. And you can do it by one of these ways: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. So how can we beat temptation?" And James tells us, this is what he says: if you want to beat temptation, if you want to live for the Lord and live above the temptations that come your way, this is what James says: "Submit yourselves therefore to God." This is in James chapter 4, verse 7, if you want to write it down. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." That's James 4, verses 7 and 8. Now, look at what he says. "Submit yourselves to God." That is, sell out to God. Submit to God. Hold nothing back. Give yourself wholly to God, 100%. God tells us plainly in Matthew 12, verse 30, "He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." And Jesus says, there's no middle ground. You are in or you are out. You are black or you are white. You're a follower of Christ or you're a follower of the devil. There's no either way. He says, if you're not for me, you're automatically against me. That simple, that plain. A child can understand it. There's no middle ground. There's no independence. There's no neutrality. The call of God comes clear as a bell from the Apostle Paul when he says in Romans 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies wholly acceptable unto God, and which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world," this culture, this way of life, "be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect way of God." So if you want to beat temptation and be victorious in temptation, submit wholly to God. And then James goes on and he says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." That is, stand your ground. When you're tempted to do wrong, stand your ground. Don't give an inch. Don't move a bit. That's what Jesus said. Remember when the devil tempted Jesus to do wrong, to sin? Every time he tried to get Jesus to sin, Jesus stood his ground and he quoted Scripture. And you know what else? The devil quoted Scripture. And then Jesus quoted again because the devil had misapplied it. And it was over the battle, Word of God. So you need to have that Word of God, and that Word of God helps you to resist him. In Matthew verse 11, chapter 4, verse 11, God tells us, "Then the devil leaveth him. Behold, angels came and ministered unto him." The devil is a coward. Stand up against him, but don't do it alone. Don't do it in the flesh. The flesh will fail you every time. You have to have the Holy Spirit within you by accepting Jesus, and then you have the power of God, and you can overcome these things. And then he goes on. He says, "Draw nigh to God," in the 8th verse. Read the Bible, pray, meditate, go to church where they're preaching the Bible. Check and see if they're preaching the Bible. If they're not preaching the Bible, they're not a church. They're just a gathering. and then you put that in place and you to cultivate Christian friends and watch what you read and watch what you think and watch that mind, because out of the heart and out of that mind, it starts in the mind and then it comes out, and out of the heart are the issues of life, Jesus said. And so you just have that pure mind. And Paul tells us, what sort of things are pure, what sort of things are right, what sort of things are good, what of good report, and so on. You know the scripture. Stay close to God. Then he goes on. He says, cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands, verse 8, James 4, verse 8. That is our lifestyle. That means our earth life. And God calls upon him, and he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God. Now, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18. Now, don't get discouraged, because none of us is perfect, and we'll never will be perfect, and you're going to sin, and you're going to sin as long as you're here. And when you sin, you go to Jesus for cleansing. And if it has to be every day, probably will be every day. And you use 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you say, you mean to me that God is going to forgive me if I sin and I do that same sin? I'm trying not to. I'm putting every effort, but I fail. You mean he's going to send me again? You know what God says? He says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The wonderful grace of God Almighty. And you come to Jesus and put your faith and trust in him. And then finally, he says, purify your hearts. Cleanse your hands, your earth life. Purify your hearts. Because out of the heart are the issues of life. And this wonderful Jesus says, is your heart right? Your heart isn't right unless you have Jesus in your heart. And how do you have Jesus in your heart? You just pray and say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. And I just ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And dear Jesus, I'll follow you the best I can. And I'll turn from my sins. That's repentance. Jesus always taught repentance. And if you prayed that prayer, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write to us, and we'll send you literature. And if you can help us in the work, we have to have your help. James says, you have not because you ask not. If we don't tell you we need it, you'll say, oh, they got plenty. We don't have plenty. We just live from day to day, from week to week. And we're dependent upon your help. So you pray and you give as God leads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the wonderful Savior. And we thank you that he helps us to live the victorious life. May multitudes turn to you today. And those who've slipped and fallen away, may they come back and you'll receive them. Be with those that are lonely. Be there with those that are aged. And Lord, we think of the little children, tender little children, to help them to come to know Jesus. And the young people fighting the battles of life. Bless them. Bless us all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to just thank you for being with us. Want to thank you for your gifts. And I guess I told you, our only source of income is God's people. And so you write to us. And if you want the new song, you put that down, new song, and we'll send it, and you'll love it, and you get blessed. And then you just stay close to Jesus. And next week, the Lord willing, we'll be back. And next week, we're going to talk about something I know you're all interested in. Why do the righteous suffer? Why do good people have bad things happen to them? And so we've got all out of the Bible, not some of our ideas, all out of the Bible. And so you can pray for us as we pray for you, and pray for our film that we want to reach people with that. Oh, we need your help. and you help us, and we'll carry the gospel the best way we know how. And the Holy Spirit will take His word all over the world, and He'll minister to millions and millions of people in millions of different ways, because it's the living word of the living God. God loves you, and we love you, and we'll see you next week, Lord willing.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.